Hello, hello, and welcome to the King Heroes Journey podcast. My name is Beth Martins, and I am just waiting for Sean Zimmer to join us. Pretty excited today to talk to him. He's been an absolute warrior, showing up like crazy for not just himself, but a whole lot of people in our community here in Manitoba. So welcome to the King Heroes Journey podcast. If you're new to this podcast, which I have to assume people are because there's been new subscribers as we go along, I'm just about to hit 7,000 on YouTube, which I know is probably borrowed time. But if you feel to sub to the channel, then please do. I often don't even ask. And yeah, pretty beautiful. It's been a nice fall here. Luckily, we had a very late spring in Manitoba, and we got some grace. I was in my garden this morning picking sorrel and parsley and sage and thyme and oregano and all of those things, and Swiss chard, things that survive a few frosts. So it's been really good. For those of you who don't know, I've been through a death in my family. My little one, for the last podcast I was on with Rebecca Shepherd, if you didn't catch it, super good. But yeah, my little Georgie has passed away, and she lived a very interesting life. She was passed around a little bit, including to me at the end when my mom passed away, and kind of feel to do a stream about her and just let you get to know it, even just for my own sake, to have a little bit of a archive of the nature of that beautiful little creature. So anyway, lots of love to Georgie. And we're still waiting for Sean, but please do come in the chat, come in the chat and say hello. Let me know who's here. I always love talking to you. The King Heroes Journey podcast is to definitely highlight those strong, not just men, but the who I consider to be king heroes out there with enough masculine energy to, you know, face the hard things and the big challenges. And I see Sean is in the room here. So without further ado, just give me a thumbs up if you feel ready, Sean. I think he's always ready. Hello, Sean. Welcome.
Hey, Beth. How's it going? Can you hear me all right on your end?
I hear you really well. Yeah, totally
great.
Good. Totally
great. Good. Happy to be here.
Oh, awesome. So we're just getting set up. I'm going to hit the Rockfin button. It's ready to go live. So if anybody wants to go over onto Rockfin instead of a mainstream platform, I'll just drop a link into the chat here. And Carol Lewis is here. Thanks for saying hello. It's always fun. So there's the Rockfin link. We should be live on Fakebook as well, although I kind of lose track. I try not to send too many people over there, even though there's still good people over there. I know you're being a rock star. So welcome, Sean. It's so great to host you. I feel like this is a long time in the coming, and that it's actually perfect timing.
Well, I'm happy to be here. It has been a long time coming. You know, it's been a while since I've seen your face, too. It's definitely been a busy last year, well, busy few years. So I'm happy to be here and unpack whatever we decide to unpack today.
Right on. Very good. Yeah, it's I keep having the phrase parallel play in my head. Not that, you know, this is such a game or anything like that that we're in, but we're staying in our lanes, doing our work, getting our stuff done, and but always cheering for you on the sidelines, and happy to have a chance now to dive a bit deeper into your work and hear from you. I also have just really appreciated over time, over the past 2.5 years, we've seen many people go through many trials and tribulations. I'm going to ask you about those. You, like you said, you're an open book, and we'll be very grateful to hear stories. But what's driving people? What's motivating them? What makes you stand up in a way that might be exceptional? Being an example for others, talking about why, you know, life is not happening to us, but for us. This is all of the things that I'm very interested in hearing about today. So let's see, I've got some questions for you. I'm curious, that lots of things I didn't know because we haven't had a chance to, we've been in this parallel play kind of mode going side by side. But when did you wake up to everything? Was it pre-plandemic, or was it just this stuff? And we'll use all code words, by the way, just in case you don't know, to possibly preserve our
absolutely presence here. Yeah, absolutely. I just started my podcast, and I'm making a point to make sure I'm careful on the words I use. You know what? That's an interesting question. A lot of people are surprised, as always since I was a child, and especially, you know, coming into my teenage years, seeing the system, I always knew something was wrong. There's two things intuitively. One, I always knew this was wrong, but I was too busy escaping from my childhood trauma and looking to the materialistic things to really dive into that. And secondly, that we have superpowers. I always knew this. This is something I knew deep down, and that's starting to come to light on understanding in my most recent years, manifestation, and you know, much more that I'm sure you and I could dive into. But really, it was the last 2 years that really opened my eyes to things when they said, and you know, that's when I took my stand, when they said you couldn't have more than one person over even in your yard. That was when I said, okay, enough is enough. I have to put everything aside and do something. And that's when I started the fitness classes that spiraled and everything else. And that is what woke me up to see really how easily and quickly people were being controlled and manipulated and delusional way of living through the fear that was put on them. And then from there, things just spiraled. I remember actually, you know, helping people and seeing certain things on their posts and stories, like the trails in the skies and whatnot, and thinking they were crazy. And then over time, look into it, son, like check it out. And so yeah, it would be the last 2 years, and it's been a very fast track process, that's for sure.
There you go. It's even hard to believe it's 2 years. Like, I guess we're 2.5 years or something, but it's been such a, you know, incredibly concentrated time and high learning. And this was the point I was going to make before too, that, you know, watching certain people in the community and over time, how did they grow or how did they not grow, to me is always a really interesting subject. And that's what I've seen you do. And it's why I think this is the perfect timing to have you on, even though, you know, maybe it would have been good to have you on all along. But, you know, just to see the expansion, to see the growth, to see the willingness, and this is the hero's journey. This is my big subject, what I wrote my book on, that, you know, it's not enough to just solve your own problems and, you know, okay, I'm lonely with just having one person. I want to have more people. It wasn't a selfish gain on your part. I was so clear that you're always turning around to want to help the other, to get ahead, to, you know, help with their health and their fitness is so important, right? After, especially when people were locked down and, you know, couldn't go to their regular places and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it's that growth factor. So what is it that has you constantly growing and expanding and learning?
Yeah, that growth factor. And as you, you know, as you nailed it on the head there, some grow and some go the opposite way. And for me, the easiest way to put that would be, you know, choosing between the two inner voices you have, the two main inner voices, that one neurotic one that's mostly attached to your ego. And secondly, your intuition, your sixth sense, what I call a direct connection to source. Before, when I started, it was you know, back and forth between the two. Yes, coming out selflessly in the actions I was taking, but still selfishly, in terms of wanting people to wake up and stop because this is affecting my world and my child's and everything going on within it. And then evolving, really understanding the bigger play, so to say, as many people call it, the awakening. And just listening to my intuition and starting to respect other people's journey more and more so be that example to lead by, as I always buzz, but more as a lighthouse, shining that light and just hoping that I can kind of catch some of the zombies over out of the darkness into my light and come along. So yeah, easiest way would be just more focused on my intuition, letting go more of my desired outcome and my past programming, and really opening my eyes to a greater picture and a larger perspective.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. And did that shift the desire to wake others up? Because I know I had a major thing. I was real live and let live before the pandemic, but all of a sudden it was like, no, now I must control how other people think and feel and act. And yeah. So I went through a little bit of that. How did it turn out for you?
That's a tough one. You know, I'm battling that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of spiritual teachers I come across from the past and present speak on, you know, you can't speed up somebody's awakening. It's going to happen when it happens. And that's something I battle with, but I do feel we have a part to play here that we do need to take action on. So I am right now, I'm trying to shake people, you know, but I'm really taking the feedback. I just made a post about that today, actually, in terms of Anytime I share my truth on, you know, a controversial topic, I will get, you know, a few messages in opposition, and often some of those will be angry and even directing hate towards me, which through my evolution, I am in a place now where I can understand that unresolved anger and respect it in a way, if that's even the proper way to put it, but detach myself from it. But in the same perspective, when I share my truth, I'm getting 10 times, even sometimes 100 times the messages on a positive impact on how I have inspired people to ask questions or really just be more and be in the moment and start living life to a more fulfilled standard. So when I get that, I make sure whatever direction that goes, I follow, you know, Don Miguel Ruiz's four agreements. Don't take anything personally. And, you know, if you've heard me speak, I said that a lot last year when I was speaking at the Ledge, hated or praised. I'm here speaking my truth, and I don't identify, do my best not to identify with either or, right? Don't take anything personally. That doesn't just go for hate that's being projected towards you, but as well, people praising you, calling you, you know, a hero or whatever it might be. You know who you are. You don't need other people to identify you as that. You know deep down, and to continuously follow that path, right? So with that being said, I really do think we need to be thinkers. We need to take control over our thought, and we need to lead the way. But do so in a way that is going to unify as many without dividing. And so what I'm getting at with this is, as I've been diving into that, I'm collectively gathering the feedback, both from the negative and the positive, to see where I can balance that out the best of my capabilities, where I can deliver on my message, or just sending other people's message out there in a way that doesn't divide, doesn't, you know, give it too much in your face where you just turn it off, and has people, you know, going further down that path, and collecting a larger amount of their consciousness and holding on to that and being a sovereign individual, right, internally and externally.
That's beautiful. And you're so speaking through the King archetype, which is a major facet of the work that I'm doing, as you can tell by the podcast name. And so, yeah, you're the willingness to accept both kinds of feedback, to not let either of it, the praise or the blame, really penetrate, knowing that it's not truly about you. And even if it's about you, it's not about you. I had a teacher say that to me too. It's very comforting. And yeah, so, but, it would be the shadow king that would reject all of the feedback and just turn a blind eye and really not care, go into apathy in a tyrannical kind of way. But so that's the narrow path right there, to allow that stuff to come in, to really truly consider it, to adjust where, you know, maybe feedback is giving you the right information that you need for your growth. So this is like bang on with the King archetype. You got it all over you.
Oh, so, right on. Yeah. Well, you'll definitely receive whatever you need for the evolution of your consciousness. The biggest thing is, are you listening? Are you getting caught in the fear, the divide, and all the noise? Right. We see a lot of people out there trying to do good, and getting lost in. You can look back on my content from last year, and it happened to me. I was just out there barking. And sure, that gave people who were in a low spot that already had the same outlook as me a little bit of hope. It gave them something because they saw a man standing up. But at the same time, I believe it did cause more divide. And a lot of us get trapped in it. It's egotistical, really. It comes from a place of ego where we have these set views and are just shouting and get to a point where it just comes out of anger. And that is resolved from coming from a seat of fear, whether you are conscious of that or not, right? And so it's unraveling all of that, and that comes to letting go and seeing things again on that bigger perspective to actually be able to remove that fear.
Very beautiful. I'd like to talk just slightly about unification, and this is a bandwagon that I like to go on because it's something that I feel like I saw through that, you know, the big message from the globalists is unification. And right, they want everything under one umbrella, one legal system, one financial system, one food system, one spiritual system as well, right? Like what's been happening with the big five churches and this so-called unification. Well, I mean, it is unification. And then I started hearing the same agenda in the truth community. Right. And a variety of groups and ones that, you know, I identified as going sideways, or at least, you know, maybe if it's not an intentional gone sideways. It is, they're doing that anyway. Their message of unification actually created all kinds of division and conflict. And every day it'd be a new, like, oh, that, this guy's my friend, and now I don't like him anymore, and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I'll just share what I have thought about it. I can see you've got lots to say as well, but there is truth in it. There is truth, but it's not about unifying, say, you know, all of the truth community across the earth or that kind of thing, because it's impossible. Like, practically just can't be done. People can't agree. We don't have the same goals. We don't have the same values. We don't have the same ecosystem that we're working within. How could we possibly unify? But where we can unify is with our people, with our family that is extended beyond our, you know, like brother or sister, because, you know, my sisters and my, you know, so-called blood, they're not really my family. They decided that I suck and they don't want to be around me. But it's just like you know, so many people have come in to actually be my family, and with my private membership association, the House of Free Will, then it's to the next level. So within that, people unifying, I find it extremely important within our own families. And then those families could connect and network and serve each other, help, you know, basic needs get met, all of that kind of thing. So that's my big speech about unification. Do you have anything you'd like to add or
say? Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly it. You know, I'm in the same boat. My family still loves me, but definitely I'm the only one with the view that I have in the family, and I wasn't welcome around at any of the events or anything like that. And, you know, with the community that I started here, made new family and friends, and which was beautiful. And then the ripple effects is that. And then as well, as you see in the direction that some go, whether that's off or on the path, depending on your perspective, your consciousness that you're at, some of those individuals seeing the path that I'd taken and then ostracizing me for coming out of a place of love, right? I'm the Viking. I'm the guy who was recording the police over my fence and telling them to F off and not allowing them in, and doing so in a strong stance of presence. So people thought I was going to be the guy cracking heads in Ottawa. And I, you know, that was right in the transition I made. Ottawa was the cherry on top of that for me to come out of a place in my heart space and really follow the ways of that Jesus Christ laid for us, or Gandhi, and not retaliating with physical force. So those very individuals within the community have ostracized me for that, right? And that's just part of the play here, right? People are going to come into your life for a reason, for the evolution of your consciousness. Some are going to stay and some are going to leave. And you just keep going on what you've been shown, right? Like it lines up with my definition of sin, being missing your mark. What are you aware of? Where do you know things are at? And are you living up to that standard, right? And when you can stand and speak in your truth, you're going to attract your tribe, and they're going to stick around until it's time for them not to. Maybe that's going to be this entire life. Maybe it's not, right? But seeing people really connect with the individuals they need to through all of this, and letting go of those that don't welcome anymore, is a beautiful thing. It's a big practice in letting go and going through the steps. And, you know, some of those people that hate you for where you're at, what you stand for, what you've done, may come back around, right? There's pivots all over the place. So it's an interesting thing to watch unfold, beautiful if you can do so detached.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, I had the pleasure of being at your place one night when you were hosting a great big bonfire. I think you even walked in the fire that night, if I'm not mistaken. And then next thing you know, the police show up and they're trying to shut everything down, and you disappeared for a bit and came back with your $9,000 ticket or whatever it was in that moment. And I just noticed your energy like didn't shift. You didn't go into fear. You know, where do you get your courage to be able to do those things and just keep on going, even though they're slamming you?
Well, that definitely comes from a higher power. 100%. You know, I talk about that a lot these days. And when I do, I'm never trying to push that up on anybody. I often actually like to try to avoid talking about the higher power and really just give little crumbs, so to say, little tidbits that will lead people through the process of raising their vibration to connect with that higher power, that higher self, the universe, creator, God, whatever you want to call that. I'm not in a place and I never will be to judge and say this is that way or the other. So that comes from my higher self, most definitely. And, you know, a lot of the times, And even right now, I'll sit down before any conversation or any place where I am taking lead and ask, pray for my ego to be removed and for my higher self to speak through me and stand strong in the truth that I'm aware of. And, you know, that truth might change as time goes, right? That's something beautiful anybody can relate to that's done the necessary inner work. When you get the constructive criticism, whether that's through people around you that do have your best interests at heart or just through the university of life, you can take that and pivot, right? And say, oh, I was wrong there. Time to make a pivot. And, you know, sorry for that. Okay. But really, it wasn't a sin because you weren't aware of it, right? Moving forward, though, again, sin, my mind, missing your mark. Now you're aware of it. Well, step up. So that strength was definitely from within and knowing this is wrong from day one, intuitively, that this is not right. I just didn't think people were going to get behind it. You know, and I started following my man Ian Smith, if you're aware of him, over in the States, who led the charge by opening his gym in the face of everything. I think he's in New Jersey. And that's where I followed suit on. I even told people when I saw that, I was like, I wish I had a storefront that I could be a beacon of light in the city here. But then when they said, even in your yard, it clicked. I'm like, hey, I used to teach boot camps. I can bring that back in. I have a big yard here right off of one of the busiest streets in Winnipeg, parking lot. Like, it was divine. If you look at my property, the parking lot is right in a bubble. There's like 5-6 feet higher in grades, so you can perfectly see in what we're doing. I feel it was a divine intervention on this location here. And I knew this is the stand. You know, I remember meeting with my pastor in conversation on it. He's like, you know, is this the hill you want to die on? And I instantly said, well, it is a hill I'm willing to die on. I don't necessarily want to, but I will. And here we are. So that, I think, you know, I could really thank George for that. I never actually thought about it until just speaking out loud right now on, he had that, gave me that awareness where it crossed my mind and I instantly knew. So I answered it for myself. So I had that knowing, you know, awareness is huge. Just having the awareness on where you're at, where your truth's at and standing strong in it. I've never cared to be a part of the club. I've always, you know, lone wolf or how people around me, I'm doing what I know is right. So, or hopefully if I'm up at bat.
Oh my gosh. I love all of that. And just to emphasize the point that, you know, when you're in that king place of your life and everybody cycles through it in one way or another, we all end up a leader in some respect. And, you know, if you don't have what you're calling higher power, God, you know, whatever word you want to give it, I don't mind. None of it bothers me. But if you don't have that really is the definition of the tyrannical king, because they won't have anywhere to go and humble themselves. Or it can be the case, right, where you're leading the pack, and it's pretty hard for a king. Where do you turn when you're vulnerable? When you are, when you're weak? Like these things happen. People might look at you and go, "Oh, you're so strong and capable, and look how much you've accomplished." And they might not even, you know, hear you if you were to say that you were feeling down. There might be some kind of like cognitive dissonance going on. They don't get it. And so having God, it is exactly the thing that keeps you both in line with your integrity and your morals and you know, your purpose and your motive, all of that kind of thing. And of course, you know, is the comfort and the refuge at the same time.
Absolutely. You know, we're given one thing most definitely, and it's the power of our thought and the ownership over it. And so many people just give that away through fear being one of the biggest outlets. And then, of course, the things that lead up to that, you know, what lowers your vibration, you know, the alcohol being a big one, you know, just low vibrational food, if you even could classify most of what people eat as food. The people you surround yourself with that are in stuck situations. You know, I seen a post that I wanted to share actually by my man Chevron on Instagram yesterday that said, if I can quote it correctly, it was, it's poor spiritual hygiene to make yourself available to everybody. And I originally shared it, but then I took it off, because I didn't want to give the wrong impression that, I think maybe one word that could be added in there, poor spiritual hygiene, to give direct access of yourself to everybody. I still want to be a shining light. As I said, I really take example of the lighthouse and just shine that beacon out there. You got to be careful, right? You got to guard yourself on what you allow in your circle and what you allow to influence you. So you can stand in that consciousness. One of my favorite audiobooks that I speak on often, Outwitting the Devil, if you've never listened to it, by Napoleon Hill, is a very, very interesting book, especially the story behind the manuscript and how long it took to release. until the whole family, for the most part, was passed on. You know, every time I listen to that, I've probably listened to it 100 times now almost. And I just listened to it a few times this past week, and I see it on a whole nother level. You know, when they talk, it's like audiobook. I love it because it's like a podcast with the devil. They have two different voices. I've read the book as well, but the audiobook I love. And when they go into the devil part, I never actually looked at the devil as a physical being. You know, through all my mystical and intuitive spiritual times in my life, I've never actually been shown true evil. I've been shown that's just part of the world of duality, and there is a past beyond that. You know, I relate it sometimes to a video game, which I know is tough for a lot of people to hear, but in reality, that is what I look at. You know, I jump on Mortal Kombat with my daughter, we kill each other, and you know, you put the controller down and you're all done. So when I listen to that book now, and I hear him speaking, I really relate God and the devil, consciousness to unconsciousness, to, you know, drifting, as he labels it in there, taking your power of thought away, so you're not staying connected to that vast consciousness. And when you can connect to that and get to a degree of connecting to it and start seeing it in the physical realm of what that will do, especially through the power of belief and thought, it makes it so concrete, it starts getting hard to forget, unless, of course, you get distracted down the rabbit hole of, you know, addiction to alcohol again, or sex or lust or whatever, right? And I'm not saying that you can't entertain any of these things at any point, but they're definitely there as a bait to dangle in front of you and take you away from that connection. And that's where my strength truly comes from. I wasn't conscious to it before. It was something that was burning inside before I was aware of it. And thankfully, I've experienced, you know, very, very prominent experiences that have shown me that's what's up, and I'm here for it, and I'm here to share that with as many people as I can. And again, always trying to balance that to not scare people off, because I remember when people used to talk about God to me, I'm like, you're crazy, get out of here, you're not gonna want to listen. I shut off. I didn't listen to any of it, right? If I was listening to this podcast, the minute you mentioned God, I heard his directing towards it, put that, turn it off.
So what was that turning point for you then? Was there a moment of awakening, and what was bringing that on for you?
There was. And as many people don't like to hear it, and, you know, I highly suggest you keep an open mind to it. I'm not suggesting it for everybody, but you can look in the research on how just evident this is through people's experiences. It was a psychedelic experience with psilocybin, the active ingredient in magical mushrooms. I had taken a higher dose. At the time, I was using the plant medicine on a monthly basis to help me be in the moment and bring my ego down. And this one time, I was coming right into a bad trip, so to say. And that is when God came to me. And, you know, I really elaborated that on my third podcast I just put out. It was a 2-hour raw, authentic conversation, unedited, that I go into full detail on all my experiences with that. And it's been a beautiful evolution, as I don't need that anymore to make that connection. And it's been like that for a while. And I was showing right off the hop, you don't need this to make the connection, but if you want to utilize it, here it is to build that awareness and help you. And now I receive all that through meditation. And not just meditation, on a daily basis, I receive it from all over the place. But meditation has been such a game changer for me. And the awareness I've built has helped me dive into meditation more. It's something I always struggle trying to, you know, really grasp and dedicate to and make a habit. But now I just see how much power is within it. So I drop down in meditation every morning, at the very least for a good half hour, and preferably a few times a day, for prolonged periods, and receive these downloads. You know, I used to look for all my direction from outside mentors. Not that I don't surround myself with some amazing people anymore, but for me, all the answers that I really need to find, I go through and meditation and dive down deep and connect with my higher self to receive, you know, the direction that I need to get.
Yeah, fantastic. That's really good. I also wanted to touch on the point you were talking about as well, about evil, that, you know, it was something I didn't believe in, because I worked in a realm that was talking about conscious and unconscious, and I lumped what might be, you know, the actually really denial on my part about evil. I just lumped it in with the unconscious. And it wasn't until this last year that I was able to really dig down and well, not even, it's been a few years, because I saw, unfortunately, true evil playing out in people's lives, right? I worked with somebody who was a victim of satanic ritual abuse, and it was just like, okay, this is beyond. This is not just the, you know, like you said, the innocent off the mark, and now I'm on the mark, or now I see, and then I go on the mark. It's, you know, it's actually the will to harm, the will to kill, the will to destroy. is absolutely there. And you know, not even just our bodies and our physical world, it's the soul, because they could have finished with life in this realm already, right? They've got the technology for that. So what is this really about? And I started to become acutely aware of the war in me, you know, with God and Satan fighting for my soul. I've like, sometimes I sit back and I go, okay, you guys go at it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Let go of the reins. I do that all the time. I say, hey, God, take the reins. I know you're better off directing this ship than I am, this vessel than I am. And I do it often. And that is something, you know, I have my ears and heart and everything wide open to try to collect on, to understand more, because I do still feel at this moment it is, it's just part of the training platform to evolve your being to go somewhere else. So again, I see it as the world of duality and part of the training, the bigger kind of platform, the story theme. And there is free will amongst this, but I do feel there's a storyline that's played out. And that's where I'm at right now. You know, one thing I did forget to put in that podcast when I dive into my psychedelic experiences, was the second journey that I had when I felt the spirit of Jesus Christ come to me. And then I, in the conversation that I laid out, I described that I contacted my, a pastor that I knew, a guy who I used to be friends with, this old gangbanger who turned his life around that became a prison chaplain, and, told him about my experiences, and we started a Bible study. But what I skipped on that was the fact that actually I didn't contact him until about 4 days later, because I actually had a huge negative energy come over me in my house the day after this beautiful experience. And then my lights started flickering in my house at midnight, and did so for 3 days in a row, right at midnight, started flickering. And I felt fearful. I knew there was a presence here, and I did not, it felt evil. And that's what I contacted George, and I said, hey, do you any like kind of blessings on a house or anything like that to get evil spirits out or anything like that? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And that's what connected us. I forgot to elaborate on that. Now, something I realized a year later, I could be right about this, I could be wrong. I look at that as God's gift in the evolution of my consciousness, because I would not have contacted George and started looking into the word if it wasn't for that. So I truly don't look at that as an evil spirit now. I just look at it as, God, let's make this look evil so this guy goes this way, right? And I know that's really painful, the perspective I have when we talk about, you know, what's happening to children and things in concentration camps and whatnot. But I do know there is, and I, you know, I've talked about this twice now that I can't cite the individual, so it's about time I start going into their stories, where people have spoken in a perspective I have that have been in those situations and see it on that greater level. So that's where I'm at right now. But again, I'm only 35, so I got a lot of time to evolve on my awareness. At least I hope so in this life. We'll see.
Right. And this is not to oppose you, but I because I've looked into this so much, and I feel like when you have a very strong trajectory for freedom, which to me is my relationship with God, that's, I can't define that for anybody else. But when that's very established, then when evil comes your way, what I've noticed is that you can flip it, that you can decide what to do. It's like you said, the free will. What's your choice? What to do with this? Are you going to, you know, just get afraid and run and be in the corner and, you know, stop doing everything that you started? Maybe, you know, the book you just opened, or your relationship with Jesus, or however that goes, or you can start to explore, you get brave, you go deeper into it. And you know, I've had demonic attacks almost always, you know, when things get really intense, say around the death of my parents, I for sure had huge demonic attacks, but I just flipped it, and a little bit out of innocence too, right? That here, these entities were coming my way, and I'm just like, I'm going to make something good out of you. And I didn't even know I was really doing it until I look back. So I think that's the power, right? That we hold
a lot of power, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. So many are letting it go to waste, but we're seeing so many not. I'm quite excited to see how strong that power becomes for the collective, as we gain consciousness. I do feel that is the ultimate goal to, and again, that's where I don't push beliefs on anybody, but if you raise everybody's vibration to a certain degree, we're all going to get close to the same page. Right. And so that's just where I focus, you know, on the mental and physical health. And I do put those little bombs of spirituality here and there, which I'll probably draw back on right now because I think I pushed a little too hard in the opposite direction that some people believe, which is okay, though. Challenges beliefs, that's all right. But again, it can cause that divide, right, and just really not have any traction towards the end goal for everybody on the unification.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you're doing amazing, setting an example and being available, because otherwise, if you don't expose what's happening in your heart and your own experience, then your true people can't find you. Your family can't find you. So I think it's so good. Yeah. You're super brave. I love it. I was jumping up and down for joy because I had a similar awakening. I consider myself born again. Mm. And I was there as a child, went all different directions as an adult. And it wasn't until these last couple of years studying law, actually, that brought me back to the Bible and wait a minute, every single thing in Revelations is happening. What's going on here?
Yeah, I really enjoy any time I jump into the Bible. I do see it in a different perspective than I see portrayed through a lot of people. And I look forward to, you know, going through it again and again and again. I don't know if you've ever read any of Bill Goddard's work. I really enjoy his references to scripture. You can tell he's a Christian man, but he definitely sees it a lot different than most. And yeah, well, I get called to go to church sometimes. You know, I've been going to Springs Church the last year for maybe once or twice a month or every couple months. And it resonates with me. And there's always a message there for me. But I'm probably hearing it a lot different than most people there. But again, you know, that was one thing I loved when George came into my life, the pastor I reached out to. He said, "Hey, Sean, you know, I'm just going to state this once. You're saying things I don't agree with. Goes against my beliefs, but I'm not going to tell you that, okay? That's between you and God. Progressive revelation. Let's keep an eye on your fruit. You're producing nutritious fruit for people. Right on. You're doing something good. You're on the right track. God will show you what you need to be showing, right? And I don't get stuck on identification of spiritual beliefs and whatnot. I think that is just divide and fear-based. So, and that's what I encourage people just at this point. I'm really trying to put that seed in, you know, just really look at the fruits and are you causing divide and fear? You know, could you be misinterpreting what those words are saying, especially in the day that was written, where it's a completely different language that we are communicating through today?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen. That's amazing. I love your perspective. Are you open to speaking? I heard you talk about this. I shared the link to your second podcast here on Spotify. And I know that third one, you can probably find it by clicking on this link as well. But are you open to talking about what to happen, the conflict that came up in that you spoke about in your second podcast?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing I'm not open about talking about. 100%. 100%. Yeah. You can ask away if you want me just to give full detail on it. I'd be happy to. Yeah, most definitely. I'm comfortable chatting about it.
Yeah. So you ended up in a skirmish.
Yeah. Yeah. A one-sided, you know, I did have an individual that came by the home here, not at my home. I was standing in the parking lot beside it. And it was an individual who was aware of who I was. And this was 2 days after I became aware of the Reddit forums, excuse me, of all the hate speech and really what I would call threats on, you know, possible ways of dealing with me and my family and the people in the community. And so I give that background as I was in a place of anger, most definitely. And this was before, and this was a catalyst, right? This was a test for me. I see I could have passed it a different way, but I've also gained so much of what was to be gained from it since the situation went down. The individual came up and referenced, you know, who I am, that he knows me, and call me every name, you know, that would be something to push my buttons, mouthing off to me. And at the time, instead of just walking away, I was sitting there having a few beers and I was looking at the lights I just hooked up on my tree while I was playing music for all the Bomber fans that would get on the buses at the bar beside my home here. I would play Pandemic songs in hopes that the lyrics would resonate with them. I'd play it very loudly, and that's what drew this individual over to me. And as he was sharing these words with me, I, instead of walking away, told him to get out of my face. And of course he responded, you know, what are you going to do about it? And went through that conversation back and forth about five times, me repeating myself. And then at the end of it, I ended up assaulting him. And you know, he mentioned something about my family after I originally put him against the wall. I grabbed his throat, put him against the wall, tried to instill some fear into him to get the hell out of my space. And then he started slowly backing up and was walking away and still mouthing off. And this is where, again, I make a mistake following him, making sure that he's leaving and he says something about myself and my family that triggers me. And I just snapped and ran after him. He turned around, so I pushed him from behind and got on top of him. He had a case of beer with him. I took that case and smashed it over his head. And then I asked him a series of questions if he was going to refer about myself or my family anymore, specifically about my daughter. And when he gave me a loose or incorrect answer that I wanted to hear, I hit him. And I was in a total rage, and I ended up hitting him probably about 6 times. I smashed 3 beer cans over his head and punched him 3 times in the head and maybe once or twice to the body. And he ended up, and I left him there, and he ended up going to the hospital and received 10 stitches in his head. And of course, you know, him and the Crown are charging me for assault with a weapon. And that's really full detail on the story, and it has taught me a great deal since. Definitely grateful for the experience. Would be grateful if I was able to be conscious of what I am now before preceding events that I just listed, but that's the way the cookie crumbled, so to say. What a cheesy fucking thing to say. I watched a movie the other day, said that that's the way the cookie crumbles, Jim Carrey.
right. Yeah, wow. It's so difficult because, you know, that they're threatening your life, really, you know, and in those forms they're ruthless. And you know, you can't not do it, anything, right? That would be another big error. I assume you would agree.
That is something I have such divide with, Beth. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned that. I'm not sure if I mentioned the podcast, but when I did speaking events on the way back from Ottawa, when we were there for the convoy, I remember one speech really stuck out with me in Barrie, where we opened it up for a Q&A after. And a man, and you know, it's what I love about that speech. A few people said it to me, and I felt it. You know, it wasn't you speaking. You're really a conduit. You could tell Jesus was speaking through you. Whatever avatar you want to put out there, God was speaking through you. And the Q&A that opened up, an individual asked me, you know, that's all great and dandy coming out of the heart space, because my message from after Ottawa, I was trying to lift people's spirits up as they saw it all crumble. Because for me, when I was in Ottawa a weekend, I knew this is how it's going to end. You know, we're going to have riot police come in here, and our mission is to stand here without physical retaliation and come from a place of love and show the lies that our government is sharing, as we all have our social media devices sharing it all over the world. And we did succeed in that, I say strongly and confidently. So sharing that message and trying to pass on a little bit of the fire that I collected when I was in Ottawa to pass that ember along to ripple effect in the communities that I could. And an individual said, that's great and dandy, you know, but when do we actually stand up and pick up arms? You know, no war was won with love. And I actually got a comment to my man, Terry, who just enlightened me the other day as I was having this conversation. And I said, yeah, you're correct, because he did. Well, you can look at the war with Gandhi, actually. You know, but at the time, my response was, you're correct, but what war has actually been won? You know, even, you know, God bless, you know, Americans. You look at the American Revolution and what was really taken from that. But in the grander scheme of things, have we unified the world, or just cause, you know, yeah, it broke down from the colony and they got what they wanted. But we have never actually unified the world and truly won in the long term, right? We still have all of this. Yeah, go on a whole book about what this is around us. So no, I feel, and as painful as it was for me to say, and still is today, it goes against all of who my being used to be on this physical and what's been taken from society and how I've reacted to the events throughout my life, because I have been a man of force. We don't pick up the arms, and we stand in truth and love and sacrifice, where we have to. And that doesn't, I don't mean sacrifice your rights. You know, that would, if it comes down to it, your body sacrificed, just as Jesus laid the way on the cross. And again, you know, I give full transparency on where I'm at with that. That is, that's tough, right? So, but that's where I stand still on it.
It's I really appreciate what you're saying and your bravery to share it. You know, it is a game moment decision, and that prayer that God acts through you. That's the thing, because you don't know what it's going to look like. And I mean, predators, when you just bare your belly to them, they go on a feeding frenzy. That's, you know, I was hearing stories. I've been really studying the difference between the predator and the prey, the public and the private, masculine, feminine. These are archetypes that are all identical, actually, really interesting. I want to talk about the masculine, but it was a bear. I was reading a story about a bear, and he came in and he killed 30 sheep in one night. Well, he didn't eat 30 sheep. He killed 30 sheep. He was in a frenzy. He lost control, right? And so this is what happens when everybody's just being a bunny and going, oh, okay, next restriction. Oh, okay, next, thing they're going to pull back or freedom they're going to remove. They just keep coming. They don't stop. And I do feel like how things are turning out, the war is not won. It's not time to rest on your laurels. I'm going to be talking to Todd McDougall about this on next Thursday on his show. And, but I believe we have had a huge impact. I'm sure they were planning all kinds of crap for this fall that just isn't happening, right? And 25% of the population don't like poison injections anymore. That's more than critical mass. And so that pushback, I'm very sorry for probably what you're going through, but at some point you need to stand up to the bully. I'm sure you know this.
Yeah, most definitely. And, in the words I shared there, that didn't mean not standing up. But mm-hmm. I do feel not standing up, fighting the pawns that are being pushed against us, like in a physical retaliation. That's where I'm at right now. And like I said, thanks to my man Terry for enlightening me on the war with Gandhi on what happened in India. They stood there in non-compliance, complete non-compliance, and they lost a lot of people. But did they lose as many people as they would have in a physical battle with armies? Probably not. And they did gain their separance from the colony on it. So that's where I'm at right now. It doesn't mean bow down. It doesn't mean, just get behind whatever's being pushed on you. No, exact opposite, stand in non-compliance. But at this point, I just don't see the place for the physical violence on it. That's why, and again, I said it's something I battle, but, we didn't see Jesus come cutting off heads when they tried to put him on the cross, right?
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's amazing. Very lucid. I love it. Yeah. That's exactly what our controllers want from us, is that we lose control and we become that which we are fighting against. Mm-hmm. You become that out of control predator in that same respect. So deeply, deeply humbling.
Yeah. Like I don't have all the answers on it, and I'm looking for them daily, but for me, I just know, what can I do? And it's shine a light and be that light, lead by example. I always speak on the 90-10 rule, which we just, our instincts get backwards so much, 90-10 rule being take 10% of our time and energy and focus on the problem, identify the problem, then 90% of our time and energy on solutions. And so many of us get that backwards, and just sit there and stare at the problem, talk about the problems, and just creating more of the problem, not getting any headway on that, and really getting into a victim mindset. We look at a lot of the communities that have been built. It's around a victim mindset, and I get it, but it gets into this pissing match and just like, okay, we're just going to bark and everybody get together and yell about how much we hate these people and how wrong all this is. Well, fuck, everybody's seen that information how many times already, right? Thank goodness there are certain things, and I think Ottawa was a huge catalyst for that, seeing how wrong everything is. And a lot of people are pushing back now, saying, no, I got behind this before, but this is wrong. That's why I don't believe we're going to see anything really be pushed on that, other than the people who've already been fooled and keeping them in it and getting more and more of that injection. But I don't think we're going to see anything for, a year or two in terms of a medical push on it until that consciousness is lost. We'll probably see, climate lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. I'm seeking the answers, right? But I just know not to act out of a place of anger and rage and uncertainty, and just follow what I know. And for me, that's why I really stopped posting a lot of stuff quite some time ago. And I've just focused on leading by example and shining a light, and putting some things out there to raise questions. But really just, just leading that example, raise your vibrations. That's what I know. I know we raise our vibrations, we'll get a direct connection to that vast consciousness, and we can be led to a greater place.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And the warrior archetype really comes up, because what is their ultimate superpower? Knowing how not to fight and when not to fight. Like how many battles day after day after day you'd be completely consumed with, and not creating
that's sort of cut you off. That's what I learned from that incident with the individual that I put in the hospital. That was not the time. That was the time to show my real strength and resist. And it really brought meaning, you know, to the meek shall inherit the earth, and many other things. So true strength and power can come from resisting. That's one of the biggest plays on that. Again, there might be a time that's not, there might be a time that power is supposed to be shown in another way. But until I'm certain of that, I'm going to refrain.
Exactly. And you will be certain. This is a message I want to put out, that when strange instructions come, you have absolutely no doubt that it's coming through you, direct from God. And, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the result of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, people hearing me talk about that, you know, and again, it's a tough conversation to have. And, you know, obviously the way I portray my words isn't going to always resonate with exactly how I'm trying to portray it. You know, if a man came in here in my home and tried to rape my daughter, I wouldn't sit there and watch it happen. Okay. Like there's a time where I will know. But in the grander scheme where things are at right now and looking at the pawn play, I know it's not the time right now. And I don't know if that time will ever come. With what we're looking at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's smarter ways to work and more efficient ways to use energy. And, you know, if you take one bully down, you've got the next bully standing right behind him. So, it requires more strategy than that. And to me, your 10-90 rule, it's so perfect. I'm in the exact same boat. I keep about 10% of my attention on the problem, and I even prayed to God yesterday, if there's things I need to know, please send them my way. I'm not going to go around digging and spend all night and researching. Mm-hmm. I've been there, but 90% of the energy into creation, into solutions, into moving forward, into creating the life that we, you know, that is crumbling before us, that's our responsibility, to create that life. So it's a big job, and we got to get on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but you know, don't let tomorrow's worries rob you of today's peace. Be in the now, be in the present. That's all you got. That's all you're guaranteed right now in this moment that you're living in right now. And you can choose whether you're gonna, you know, live it fully and let go to your desired attached outcomes, or just be consumed with worry. Which, what is worry? It's fear, right? That's the one thing I'm certain of, out of everything that I'm, you know, have tossed up as a coach before and changed my mind on, and things I'm still balancing. It's like fear or faith. I know that is certain. You can choose one or the other, fear or faith.
Amazing. Yeah. And I have a question exactly about that. How would you recommend people let the fear go and walk in faith? And is there, these times, do you think that they, just to add a question, do you think that they are actually increasing our capacity for faith rather than decreasing it, like the worst things?
Yeah, no, it's definitely decreasing, but things are increasing as well. You know, you look at especially people who were awake to things before, or right at the beginning, right at the beginning, you look at everything happening after and everything that's been pushed out. Wow, this is so ridiculous. How are people not seeing this? And it makes people so angry. It didn't take long for me to really appreciate it and be like, oh, it's just designed to grab people and wake them up, shake them until they ask the right questions, right? And so there's both parts of the equation on that question, I would think. And again, it brings us back to, you know, polarity, duality. Does seem like this earth has equal parts to both, good and evil, positive and negative, the atom and whatnot, and everything down to the smallest degree. So my best suggestion for that would be, geez, it's a good question. Nobody's really asked me that, you know. I would say probably really sit down and assess your life and do some journaling even to try to document this and live the way you're living. And then take a month, let's say 30 days, 40 days. I like that number, 40 days. I've been doing a lot of 40-day things lately, and it's been really speaking to me. Actually, if you listen to the end of episode 3, there's where God showed up on that 40-day thing I'm doing, very evident, a message I asked to receive. So spend 40 days and start your day with meditation and prayer, asking. And ask as you are going to receive. Don't beg. Bring manifestation into it in a way, if you want to look at it that way. understand the vessel that you are, which, you know, I speak as such, and it probably doesn't make sense to people to a certain degree. So start with prayer and meditation and start living a life not resisting. And I don't mean not resisting to the government's tyrannical rule. I mean, not resisting to what the universe presents you. You know, here I am getting back into landscaping, something I did for over a decade and put off for a few years. And I feel the calling to come back to it, to really focus on people, not only rejuvenating our soils through natural methods, but, you know, growing food and becoming more self-sustainable and encouraging other people to grow food. I'm planning on encouraging many people to remove the front grass and fill it with food. And in doing so, I'm doing it a lot different than how I did before. You know, I was so all fine and dandy. Set up your desired outcome and your desires, aim for them, right? We're here to experience as the human experience, your human beings, and set up the steps that you see in your mind being the best to get there. But when the universe gives you resistance and that makes it really hard, look at it another way. Instead of getting frustrated and trying to just grind that to make it happen, look at the available space it opened up to put your attention somewhere else and let that go just a little bit of time and then go that way. Start just flowing a little bit. And I call it, you know, embracing your feminine more. I believe, you know, since I've been working on my wounded feminine, that's what's allowed me to let go and go with the flow of the universe. And if you could do 40 days of that and just watch the outcome, maybe in those 40 days, it doesn't, you know, equate to something materialistic, but I think the peace, the inner peace, it'll start giving you more direct access to that faith, right? Because confidence, if you want confidence and faith, well, any confidence is built from the memory of winning. And you have to take action to have any memory of winning if you can get some wins, right? So take 40 days and stop fighting the resistance. Let yourself go on a different path. Let go of your selfish, desired plan, right? Plan it. No, nothing wrong with that, but let go to it. Let go to it because there is a greater power that knows better steps for you to take. But often it doesn't look as appealing because we can see, wow, so-and-so that has what I want did this, so I'm going to follow that, right? Yeah, makes sense. Well, when the universe has a better plan for you, often the step at the beginning looks like dog shit, not what you want at all, opposite direction, a step down. But if you follow it and just trust, you'll build that faith. You'll build that release to let go. And that's where I've been building on for a few years now. And, you know, if I did a podcast a month ago when I had my first court date that got pushed back to the most recent one, and you listen to it compared to the most recent one, I'd be like, holy shit, it's a completely different guy. Like, I was jacked with anxiety and cortisol going through me and worry and just attached to everything, my house, my daughter, everything. And now I'm saying that. And I was part of it. That was the gift that I got from this whole situation, you know, amongst many other things.
Wow, that's great. I'm loving that. So good. I'd just like to highlight the landscaping part because it's so timely that you know, growing food is the thing to do. I knew it last year that, okay, time to get my hands in the soil one way or the other, and was able to establish myself in my own garden and working on a farm and working in a little bit more community context. So amazing, right? And don't beg. This is something I caught myself begging God all the time. Like, what are you doing? Ask, right? Just ask. And when there was this open-ended asking, shocking number of prayers answered immediately. Like, even for things like, God, how's my, could you please water my garden without me today? Starts to rain. It's just like, okay, wow, this is wild.
That's beautiful. You'll see those direct responses, and then a lot of your prayers will be answered, but in a way that you wouldn't perceive them to be answered, right? So we can often miss the answer that shows up, the prayer fulfilled. Exactly. So open your eyes on how you deliver in a way that might be outside your direct line of thought.
I got a very important key at your fire that night, and it was a woman. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head right now, but we were just talking about God and religion and spirituality. And I was really coming around to the Bible. She knew a lot about it. And so she gave me this nugget, and it's basically, yeah, like, have and ask for anything, but for the glory of God.
Exactly.
Right. Is it for the glory of God, or is it for the glorification of you? And this, exactly. When I was able,
That brings us back to the beginning of the show when you asked me, you know, the growth. And I related to those two inner voices, right. Most easily put to the ego and your higher self, your intuitive feeling, your intuition, your sixth sense, to the ego. And, you know, the ego can still be used as a catalyst for good, and has for me. I still have hit the point to believe that you can't get to those points completely detached from the ego now. A lot of people are like, well, you know, burn the ego, kill the ego. Well, other than temporarily through a psychedelic experience, you can't. The ego is you. It's your part of this avatar. What your play is here, the biggest thing with the ego is just staying aware of it, staying aware and watching it. Okay, that was coming from there. Okay, and use it as a catalyst where you can. And that definitely brings it back to that conversation. Just the thought when you're mentioning that.
Yeah, it's God's creation. So why do we point at it and say it's wrong? You don't point at your hand and go, oh, this is wrong, cut it off.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like if the hand is ailing, then you look and you see, okay, what's the source of the ailing?
Yeah, exactly. Understand it. Dive back. Where is this? Is my ego being a freaking asshole? Where's that coming from? Right? Let's wind back. And often that comes from the first 5 years of your life.
Indeed, it does. I'd like to dive deep in with the masculine and feminine, because you are a serious proponent, a self-proclaimed opponent, a proponent for the masculine. And it's been decades of killing that in our society and demonizing it and the toxic masculinity. I remember going and searching on Twitter for that hashtag. I couldn't get to the bottom. There was no end to this toxic masculinity narrative. And so I love people. We need strong men more than ever. And so what's your take on all of that? And you already mentioned the feminine, how you've been working with that. So very curious to hear.
Yeah, definitely. It's an attack on both that I think started with the witch hunts as the Catholic Church came in. The Holocaust of women, if you look into it, it's estimated they burned 3 to 5 million women. And, you know, women hold the key. You guys produce life. You are, in my mind, the superior beings on a physical level when we look at our powers, right? And there's a clear difference that is between a woman and a man, and you can see the attack on that, the trauma that's been caused to women, and the fear that's been put into them from those days in the past, and then having them now, okay, well, you need to prove your worth. You know, put your kids in the school system and with daycare and get out and prove your worth in the workplace, right? Get out of the household and break that dynamic, because when you have a strong woman sitting comfortably, confidently in her feminine, and you know, we all have a balance of both, but really, entertaining and not entertaining it, living in it fully, and you have a man doing the same, and you get that union together, it's an unstoppable force, and it's very powerful. So that's where I see the play to divide it completely, and we can look back, peel the layers of the onion, so to speak, and really see the attack on the women first, and then the feminist movement, which I do feel as many things that first draw, that bait looks appealing, looks like it's for a good, righteous movement and reason, but there's a hidden agenda behind that, and that was to get them out of the home, have the kids put in indoctrination camps, and women starting to get into their masculine, right, proving their worth in the workplace. And that doesn't, when I say that, don't, you know, misconcept it, saying that you're not as worthy in the workplace, not by all means, but you have a gift for raising kids and nourishing them like a man does not. And then the play on man coming after that to scare them into speaking their truth and stepping in that role of being the leader and the one that puts a stop to the evil, so to say. All that's being pushed, right? Having men scared of, and women are already pissed off because they had to prove themselves, right? And you're saying, I'm not good enough. Well, the minute you stand up and hurt this person over here, well, screw you. You're toxic. That's toxic masculinity, right? And shutting them down to a place where they're scared to speak up. And that is now where we saw the movement, right, with the last 2 years. Who was it that was speaking up mostly? Who are the ones that were stepping out to the front? It was the women. Because the men have been attacked on the toxic masculinity for the last decade. And they were fearful to even stand up to it, right? Like, ah, well, fuck that shit. Even though I know it's wrong, I'm not putting my neck out. And so we're seeing that come full circle now as people are realizing it. And men are finally putting their necks out and are getting the support that they need from the feminine, from women. So, you know, that's in a nutshell how I see it, with the divide on that and just pulling the family apart and having men scared to speak their truth and women not embracing their feminine and all the beautiful things that come from that and the power and life that comes from that, especially combined with a masculine and his strength.
Amen, brother. So good. Yeah, you know, this is a redemption project for me because I was on my soapbox and saying that men were the cause of evil in the world. I firmly believe that. I had firmly internalized it and owned the message. I had no idea. It really wasn't until my father died and I started to look deeply into, okay, where is that enemy after all? Finding it right here.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to dive into, you know. One, a super unpopular opinion, as I'll share right now, that I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's a school teacher. And I brought it up. I was like, oh, isn't it interesting how on, you know, Every Child Matters Day that the queen, whatever you want to call, running off my mind right now, the Commonwealth family, whatever you want, the individuals who put all this into play are saying, okay, yeah, it was wrong. So here's a day off for everybody while we still stay in power. And the world doesn't put a stop to that. That was my perspective on it. He shares, he's like, you know what? I won't even celebrate that day. I won't wear an orange shirt to school. And everybody asked me, why aren't you wearing an orange shirt? And he says, because it's racist. And for me, you know, it's not something that really came to mind. I was like, he's like, yeah, like every child matters. But it's another one of those things they're using to cause divide because they're putting it towards just one race. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What happened with the residential schools? Yes. What about with these kids over in this country or these kids over in this part of our country that are of this race? And it is just another one of those things with a hidden agenda behind it. That is a little part. And again, it's a tough conversation to have on that, but that was his view. And for me, it resonated. I was like, yeah, you know, I never looked at it that way. It's interesting perspective. So just anything. And my point in sharing that was to just really look at things on a greater deal, you know, like with what's going on in Iran right now with the women. I'm not there. I don't know. People filled my inbox to share that. You know, share this face, share our message. The internet shut down, and there was something inside of me that said no, don't. And then my inbox was so full, but I finally did. And I remember somebody commented on it, you know, don't fall for this, whatever words they used. And again, and I'm not saying that what's happening there isn't terrible. Of course, I don't agree with women not being able to show their skin and come out of what's being done there and the morality police killing people for it, but. There's probably, again, a hidden agenda behind this, especially when you look at our tyrannical government getting behind it in support, right? So there's just these things to look a little bit deeper in and really understand that they're really good at this play. You know, if you've ever played the game of chess, it takes some time and you can play against somebody who knows how to play and you're going to get absolutely slaughtered because they're thinking, you know, 20 moves ahead. So it's, just really dive in. So I just wanted to share that because that's something that probably most people would be pissed off hearing when he said it. I was like, holy shit, you know, but I respect the guy. He stands in his truth. And it was a good perspective because I seen what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Yeah. Let's just get real around here. What's actually happening outside of your own indoctrinated thinking, or your belief or your convictions or whatever. Yeah. I've practiced a lot of deprogramming and releasing. I coach with this. I'm training coaches in this. And I have an acid test. If I can let it go, it's not real. Has no basis. Mm-hmm. No, and I will test all the things, all of the beliefs, all of the... Because I want the truth more than I want to be right or smart or, you know, I have to clean up all the time. I'm forever going back. When I announced I was a recovering feminist, you wouldn't believe how many women in my life, because I had been on that bandwagon so strong for a decade already. And they're like, oh, Beth, I'm so disappointed in you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it's that turnstile where a whole bunch of people came in and went like, oh my God, thank you for saying this. I wanted to say this. And nobody.
Yeah. Exactly. With me going from that, you know, shift on being angry to coming from my heart space. Like, trust me, if we do events here, I'm still going to tell the freaking police to F off when they're coming over my fence. I'm just going to do so a little less angry and stop judging people and respect their journey more. And so, yeah, you know, with that being said, really, really look at some of the easiest plays, right? Fear, divide and conquer. And fear is one of the biggest ones. And the race card is one of the huge ones. And putting people in that victim mindset, and that doesn't negate what's happened, and me saying that there's not good reason to be in that mindset temporarily. You need to come out of it, right? When you get stuck in the victim mindset, you're easily controlled and easily put against other people, right? So that fear and divide and anything with race is one of the huge plays they take.
Yeah, and becoming the victim actually makes you very dangerous, because as soon as you're convinced you're the victim, then you have license to kill.
Yep.
They're the most dangerous of all. That's one of the reasons that I think it's, in a way, better not to wake people up, because they're going to realize how intensely they've been victimized. They may not have any resources whatsoever to work through that, and they become a danger. So,
Yeah, and that's why, for me, you know, get the landscaping going again. It's interesting. You know, I put that together. I feel that drama. Oh, I'm kind of getting why I had that before now. And I'm seeing it to, you know, inspire people to start growing their own food and just focus on health and coming together in community, you know, developing the land that I'll be working on right away and doing whatever I can, both in and outside the city, and just leading by example. That's the biggest thing I can do. And until I'm certain of a different direction to take, and it's not coming from my unresolved anger, and it's truly coming from that vast consciousness, that's where I'm at.
Brilliant. I love it. And we might have to have a few more conversations. I think we could go way deeper into the masculine, feminine, but I wanted to ask you a few other questions as well. Like, in terms of what is your vision for the future? What would you, if you could just, you know, finish the sentence, wouldn't it be nice if?
Wouldn't it be nice if everybody could be in the present moment and have faith over fear?
There you go. And how does that look?
How does that look? That's a tough one. It looks beautiful, that's for sure. The process to get there, I don't know. A lot of lighthouses, but it looks like a lot of unification, a lot of bartering more, a lot of letting go of the materialistic desires. And when I talk about that, hey, I'm a guy who loves like muscle cars and vehicles, and I still want to experience that, but I'm let go to it, and I'm let go to the part of that comes from actually the status quo and like, hey, look at me, this is cool, right? Because a big part of that is there. I'm not saying letting go of materialistic things, you shouldn't enjoy anything, but at what cost is it coming to humanity? So letting go of a lot of that and really just releasing yourself to the universal plan for you. And again, that doesn't mean getting down on your knees. That means, you know, listening to that intuitive voice and following that light within that's shining and is doing its best to direct you in the best place for you to go. That'll help the collective come together as that in faith over fear.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I love that. And do you want to talk about just how things have shifted for you as a parent? I know that's on the top of your list of things that are obviously important to you, raising your daughter, I believe it is. And what do you think? What would you say to parents right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a couple of big points in parenting that pop up for me. One, you know, as a dad, at the beginning, I started capturing videos of my daughter and I doing things, and I'd take a screenshot and put it out on social media and with a meme attached to it. And that's what really got me growing on social media. And first door open for me to start helping people. I saw the positive impact that I was making, seeing a more masculine looking man getting on the level of a little girl, you know, doing tea parties and whatever it might've been. So coming into that was great. Wasn't soon after that my daughter didn't want a camera in her face. And I remember the first thought on that, I was like, wow, this is what I'm doing. But so letting go to that, taking it in the seasons, right? There's different seasons that are going to come and go. And that really lines up with the most recent experience that I was going to speak on last, but I'll come into the middle one after. Letting go to your desired outcome. You know, they're their own beings, yes, in a physical form younger than you, but we are all spiritual beings living a human body experience. And I do not feel that my daughter well, is any lesser than me, period, but obviously lesser in size and experience than the physical, but on a spiritual level, being equal. So to really make that connection and allow her to go on her journey as it is, lead by example, but detach from the desired outcome. And I, you know, that came to me as I had a most, my most recent relationship was a long distance relationship that I entertained, and it took an impact on my daughter, and I saw her pull back, which was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my life. And I was, even before that, I was so attached to, I really want my kid to be able to speak to me on everything she's comfortable with. And she never was, actually. She'd always go to mom. We have a great relationship, minus that. She is fearful of expressing her emotions to me. And I actually do feel that's from me having a different perspective as mom when she was a baby and letting her fully cry things out. I think that instilled the belief in her that she cannot be vulnerable and express her emotions with dad. I'm not going to be there for her. Which I'm working on undoing right now. But getting back to the relationship bit, when she pulled back, I was so like I was getting angry and upset with myself and the whole situation that we were losing this bond, and which in result, fear was being brought in and I wasn't being conscious and leading the example I should have because I allowed fear in. So, and the court case, this has all happened together to really allow me to, okay, well, just let go of your desired outcome, Sean, and lead by example regardless. Be there. And she might come around. Maybe she's just testing you right now. She might come around. She might not come around. She might hate you for the rest of your life. But regardless, you're here as her dad, her parent. Lead by example. Be there. Be present. Right? And one time I remember sitting on this, it was the catalyst when I was looking at my, I was like, what do I do about this? You know, this was a little bit previous when I was dealing with something else, but in relation to, you know, me being attached to my desired outcome. And I looked over at this piece of artwork I have that many people are probably familiar with, where it has, you know, the boss on top as he's whipping the guys, pulling his, or he's just pointing at them, he's not whipping at them, but they're pulling his wagon. And then down low, leader, who is pulling at the front. And I saw that lead her, Sean, lead by example, right? So I've let go. That's one of the biggest things I suggest is, you know, be in the moment and let go to your desired outcome and just lead the best example and understand they have their own path to take. That's going to, if you're so attached to them taking it one way, it's going to cause a lot of pain. It's going to cause a lot of fear inside you because you're fearful of them going down a road you don't want to go. But hey, that's, you can only do your best by leading by example and not pushing everything to a certain degree. Obviously, they need to be directed. So that was a big one. And then the middle part that I was talking about was the co-parenting. My daughter's mom and I split, you know, when she was just before a year born. And it was not good. We were against each other, push each other's buttons. It was toxic, to say the least. And I came across a book called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. It's probably behind me here. And that changed the game for me. That's taking extreme ownership of everything in your life. Everything is your fault. Anything that doesn't go your way. And for me, the message I took, your way should be what is best for everybody, for the collective. So anything that doesn't go your way, not get upset about that person. You did this. Yeah, you know, you're putting me in. No. How did I go wrong about this, right? And for instance, that could have just been, maybe let's assess how I talk to them. I'm obviously speaking in a way that resonates with me. Can I think outside that box and take a path that is going to speak more directly to them and maybe put some of my desires to the wayside right now for the longer game to play? Right. And that is, again, putting your ego aside and really just taking that extreme ownership. And that came, and I did that, and I bit my tongue for a year. It took about a year before a lot of that change from my actions came as a fruit that we could all indulge in. And it's been a beautiful thing now. You know, we co-parent great. We just went to Halloween shopping together the other day. I'm doing a potluck tonight. Her mom's coming. I'll watch her baby now, like friends with her boyfriend. It's a beautiful thing. And that's how it should be, right? For the kid's best interest, for the collective's best interest. So extreme ownership. Take extreme ownership. Anytime something around you doesn't go right, how could you have executed better to make that result come? Plain and simple.
That's so brilliant. We're right on the same page. I studied with students of Lester Levinson, and he had a recommendation of exactly this, just a different word, taking radical responsibility for things that truly you can, by all evidence, and everyone would agree that you had nothing to do with it.
Exactly, but, yeah.
But then you have no power in that situation, and you can't
victim.
Help anybody.
You're just playing the victim mindset, right? It doesn't do any good.
Exactly. You wash your hands of it and walk away pretending that it's all somebody else's deal.
Yeah, it's an easy way out.
it is the easy way out. So yeah, that's a really beautiful thing. The if I get to write it, we'll see if it's in the cards. But the next book I would write, it's called I Did It.
Mm.
Whatever it is, I did it.
Yep, yep. Hey, wherever you're at in life right now, whether you want to admit it or not, is a direct result of the decisions that you made.
That's it. That's it. And is that why you would say life is happening for us, not to us?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's again, to bring us to that higher power. We have willpower, but the universe is still going to try to flow you down in a certain direction to reaching your higher self, and will present you with opportunities and more opportunities after you let others go or succeed at, you know, receiving what was there to receive. So everything is there for the evolution of your consciousness, and so life happens for you, not to you. You're at where you're at because of you. And there is a higher you that's there aiding you along the way, but you have willpower. You can completely deny receiving any of that and just throw it all in the garbage.
Indeed, we are free to do that. Yeah, yeah, that's how it goes. Well, this has been an absolutely beautiful conversation. Do you feel like there's anything, a message that you'd like to get out? Advice for men, by the way, you know, if they're licking their wounds from the days of toxic masculinity, which I hope they're not suffering, but I bet they are. Eh? I live in a bit of a bubble where men are affected.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. People are hurting all over. There's definitely, I would say, you know, if you're getting angry at anything, if there's anything that's making you angry in life, to really assess why, past the superficial level that you'll see on the surface, and really dive down deep and even go through a list of all the painful memories you have. You don't have to share them with anybody, and see what might be coming from there, and let go of it all. Let go. Every adversity has a seed to equivalent success. And I know that's tough to hear for a lot of stuff, but it's true. And if you can dive into all that past pain and see what was gained from it, and maybe at the time you're at right now in your consciousness, you only see that as something you don't want. Well, appreciate that you learned that, and think on that memory with a smile, force a smile. What that does physically to your body actually changes a lot, and instill that positive memory and let go. You know, I used to do this exercise with my dad leaving from Ottawa, where I lived before, and moving to Winnipeg. Obviously, I tailed along a couple of years after. But he left his children, and it really messed with me. I didn't realize it gave me a big fear of abandonment, something I became aware of probably a decade ago. And I used to go through this exercise and say, well, just, I know that's not what I want. And it's not what I want to promote. And then I realized, wait a second. So in result to that, I ended up being a very involved father who ended up creating these memes that were really out of the norm that inspired positively millions of parents. So that was a beautiful seed that grew into a beautiful, fruitful tree from that experience, right? I can relate that to it. So letting go of that baggage is huge, and healing those wounds. And I tell you, you know, I always thought it was the masculine that was wounded for me. I found out most recently, just last year before Ottawa, in my toad ceremony, that I had a wounded feminine as well from trying to heal my mother when I was younger. And that's been a huge catalyst for me. So dive down deep, get past what other people might think, get past the macho stuff that's stopping in the way, and really step into being a man.
Fabulous. Really well said. I love it. Thank you so much, Sean. It's been a pleasure. How do people take you up on, I know you are offering coaching services and the landscaping business, which I am really hoping people will take advantage of, because if you, you know, if you haven't done it before, then there's a lot to learn. And if you can get a head start in creating a good foundation for the soil and for plants to grow, then you're going to be ahead of the game. So yeah, I might have to take you up on some stuff myself. I've got actually a big open empty lot here. They used to poison it like crazy. I finally got them to stop, like, stop it. Just so now they only cut, they don't poison.
Oh,
I'm busy throwing my compost over, but it should be a garden.
Yeah,
right?
That's one thing I'm going to be going towards, trying to encourage more commercial garden spaces as well. Huge, right? Just like talking about climate change, so to say. What if everybody just got rid of their mowers and put in natural landscapes and growing food? What would that, the reduction in emissions just from the mowers and all the stuff we're spraying? Most people are spraying to keep their grass green so they can impress their neighbors, and what that's doing to our water systems and evaporating to the air and going to other people's foods and everything, right, on your skin, soaking up in your pores. The list goes on and on and on. Yeah, gardening, huge. Right now, the landscaping was just a very recent decision to get back into. I've taken a few jobs to do for the rest of the season. I'm all booked up for that. Right now, I'm actually doing them totally free. Everything I've done, actually, you know, I'll be diving into that further in a podcast, but I touch base on it in my most recent one, episode 3 on the Vikings Voice, where I made a deal with God that I'm going to give everything I can. And that is including a good amount of time dedicated just to my self-development and my family, alongside the services I can offer in the community, whether it be public speaking, one-on-one coaching, landscaping, hosting classes, putting my space up. I'm going to do it for free and be open to donations, but not expecting anything, and offer everything I can for free. The only time I'll ever request is when somebody's like, hey, you know, build a rink or do this, or, you know, I'm like, okay, we'll see if we can raise fundraise for it, right? But I'll never actually directly ask anybody. So everything right now I do is pro bono, and people are open to provide me a donation, or they don't have to. And that's how I've operated. And it's been a really interesting journey that most people think I'm crazy for. It's been testing, to say the least. Bills have gotten very behind sometimes as I emptied my accounts right before I took the move for the community. I get into that another show. I do touch base on episode 3 on that. So yeah, the Vikings Voice is a great outlet right now. And my podcast I just started, I'm releasing one every week. And Instagram is still up, Sean, SHAUNJ Zimmer. And the website you've had up here, thevikingondemand.com, it is fairly outdated, but I will be getting around to updating that within the next week, as I have been developing an app that I'm launching very soon that is bringing some of the things that I put to the wayside with the community. You know, I used to teach a lot of interactive courses on addictions and just leveling up mentally, taking control of your life and becoming your best. So I'm bringing some of those back into this app, along with guided meditations and guided sleep affirmations and breath work, as people have been asking me to put my voice out there. And again, my goal is to help people raise their vibration, ultimately connect with God. But I'm not going to sit there and say that. Sometimes I will on Instagram, but really it's just like, here, take this. Whether you want to connect with God or not, you know, just raise your vibrations. It's going to provide you so much more better life. And ultimately, at some point, you're going to connect with the higher self. So that's where we're at right now. The website will be updated pretty soon, and you can watch out for that app launching.
Okay, fantastic. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, the app, you know, the app and the book, even I'm going to stay true to my commitment too. So the funds that come through that, because I'm going to charge for those, a minimal cost, but the funds from that are going to go to the new space we're setting up. So it's going to go to the community space.
Amazing. So yeah, if you're inspired, please do support Sean's work. And that's where we're at. You know, the gift economy is something that is it's more true. I would love to live in that world where there's, mm-hmm. you know, and there are times for it. For example, I hope you will consider, by the way, coming and being a member of the House of Free Will. That's my unincorporated, unregistered private association, to this end of God's people gathering in faith and around important things like law. For example, there might be some really good law connections for you to make in these times.
Right. Yeah. Now. Yeah. I'd love to. Let's have a look into it. That's actually one of my biggest points on my area of study this winter is the law, and getting to a point of helping lead an example of being sovereign and removing yourself once enough of us say no and stand up in faith and really take that stand. I think things will really change.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, there's so many good people out there, and it is quite faith-based without having to engineer that or tell people you need to this or you need to that. It's those are the ones that come together, because otherwise your standing is very weak. If you don't have God and you're just pushing around statutes and all that kind of thing, then
yeah,
you're lost in the weeds. So yeah, there's actually a workshop coming up just to let everybody know, Berlando on the 12th next week, Wednesday, is coming on to talk about how to do your inner game. This will be right up your alley, to do your inner game work in order to not have to push so much paper and obsess about the paper when it comes to the law thing. He's 4 decades into it, tons of experience, tons of disillusionment on what not to waste time with, which is, to me, super valuable. He's done most of his work from the inside out and had results. So this is the thing.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Definitely. Let's chat about that. I want to check it
okay.
out.
Okay. That sounds good. And I'd love to have you on for a workshop as well in a variety of different areas. I think it's all good and all needed.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. And, you know, anybody listening as well, if you have a platform, I don't care if you have 1 follower or 1,000 or 10,000, it doesn't matter. If you're putting a message out there trying to help people detach selflessly, I'm here. And so by all means, reach out. And I'm grateful for everything you're doing, Beth. That's huge.
Mm, That's awesome. So good. Yeah. Well, we'll have to have an actual tea and get together since we're here in the same zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll have you on my podcast as well. I got another microphone right beside me here. So
okay, cool.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fun. I like your setup there. And the black lights are nice.
Right on. Right on. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a beautiful rest of your day, Sean. And take care, everybody. So I'm going to say goodbye and lots of love. If you wanted to connect at the about that workshop, by the way, it is for members only. So I'll just let you know, you can visit freewillministry.live. I call it .live for life. And there's an application. So if you would like to join the workshop, please apply to be a member sooner than later, because then otherwise there's a last minute kind of a wild thing for myself and my assistant. But other than that, I think that's it for now. A couple of good interviews coming up next week. Robert Michael, speaking of the law, he's going to come on and speak. And also a very dear soul is an expert in the EMF world and creating solutions for people and showing why some people are super hyper sensitive to EMFs and others are not. And oh, your phone's ringing.
My apologies. Right. Time to pick up the kiddo from school.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Right on cue. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you so much, Sean.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bye, everyone.